You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Thank you for waiting for the show to start, and I promise you that it's going to be well worth the wait. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we will be joined by Professor Yofi Tirosh from Tel Aviv University to talk about constitutional rights to being fat. Important discussion. I'm surprised someone has not raised this discussion sooner. Then we will change it up. We'll be joined by Brooks Kubik, keeper of the flame of physical culture, when we will do our second installment of Building Muscle Mass, the Dinosaur Way. So you're not going to want to miss that either. But let's get started right away. Professor Tirosh, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good. And this is an important discussion. What made you, first of all, start to consider the, implications and the possible discriminatory effects of obesity that made you write this paper?
Well, I think as academics in the humanities and the social sciences, we often have the privilege of combining our personal experience with academic pursuit. So theoretically, I wrote my PhD on rights of employees to have their hair or wear makeup as they want it versus the requirements of employers to ask for a certain appearance, and on religious rights, you know, the whole debates about head covers, etc. So things that had to do with physical appearance, more in the area of clothes and hairstyle, etc. And then that was a kind of a natural step to look at body size and the way the law treats it, and the way it should protect people's right to be of any size that they are, that they choose. On the personal level, I think every woman faces many identity issues regarding body size. I'm not a particularly big woman, I would
right.
say, but
I don't see many people. I have to believe, and I hope I'm not stereotyping, but I've been to Israel numerous times, and there are no obese people in Israel, or very, very few.
Yeah, there are less morbidly obese people, as the medical categories would have it, but I have to tell you that it's been a big issue here, like the rest of the West. We have Michelle Obama-style programs in school cafeterias and other initiatives like taxing junk food, etc., etc. It's, you know, you open the paper here, and just like in the U.S., you find a lot of stories about how horrible it is that Israelis get fatter and fatter every year. So, you know, we're just as publicly worried
right.
about this issue.
And the problem with obesity, and I personally rail against obesity. And I was an mm-hmm. obese person up through 1998. I was 330 pounds. And the problem we can't talk about obesity, in my humble opinion, and we're going to get into your paper here because you've got some excellent mm-hmm. points here. Part of the problem we can't talk about obesity is because of the intrinsic and extrinsic effects of it. And, you know, intrinsically, it's a person's right to be obese, do whatever they want. That has to do with body image. Extrinsically, there
right.
are morbidity and mortality factors associated with obesity, and those splash onto society. But,
right.
And that's why I want to get into this. I want to start off by reading one excerpt from your paper. And I guess this is where it all comes from, right? The gist of my argument is that The dominant response to growing obesity rates has been to seek a solution to the obesity epidemic in getting people to lose weight or refrain from gaining it. But a complementary response must be reexamined. Our biases, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Our biases concerning, our biases concerning weight and our difficulty in recognizing the importance of corporal existence. The necessary change is located as much on a social, political, legal, and ethical level as it is on a physiological level. So what you're saying here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that people should not be asked to change their body size. It's their choice, and we have a bias against obesity, and that's what's driving this. Is that correct?
Right. We can get to the cost of obesity later, but I think the major argument that I'm making is that as a matter of principle, we cannot let the medical framework govern and monopolize the way we understand obesity. We all have bodies, and our bodies mean many, many things to us. We convey our personality and our preferences and our histories through our bodies, just like we have wrinkles or we have muscles, and the world can see that we work out in the gym, et cetera, et cetera. And bodies express who we are. Bodies send signals to the world, for example, about how much we want to be sexy, you know, in the eyes of the other sex. The size of our body determines the pace of our walk, for example, or even the rhythm of our breath. These are really personal, intimate things that it's very hard for us to describe because we don't have analytical framework to talk about the body, but they're important. You know, let's talk about food, for example. Food is not just like gasoline in our car. It's not just caloric value and minerals and vitamins. It's about tradition. It's about memory. It's about community.
I can appreciate all of that, and you're right about that. And that is the psychological aspect of food. But does that mean that we must experience those memories and relive those moments and those smells dozens of times a day? Because I understand what you're saying. Harkening back a memory is really a great thing, but harkening back a memory and then pushing a plate of food down at the same time, these are both intrinsic and extrinsic effects that the hard part is separating them. This is we have to take a break.
Right.
We have to take a break. When we come back,
okay,
I want to talk more about the paper. It's a great paper. It's an important paper.
Thank you.
These are things that have to be discussed regardless of where people fall on the side of the discussion. This is an important discussion because through this discussion, I predict, Dr. Tirosh, that your discussion, by putting it on this palette, on this canvas, is going to force more important arguments that will address some of these other issues and level the playing field. Because I believe, like you, I believe a person's right to choose to smoke cigarettes is their right. They should do it as long as it doesn't affect me. And I believe that a person's choice to gain a certain size of body real estate, if you will, should be their own choice as long as it doesn't affect me. So I'm with you on that. But I think there's some further discussion, so stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
You know the West Coast is back for all you suckers.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. ASC.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at FeelGoodC.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
New from Rob Regish. Purchase the Blueprint 3.0 today and lock in your free 3-month subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. Find out what many in the BP Army already know. This is the best investment they've ever made. Includes the free Superhuman University, add 1 inch to your upper arms course, and 3 months of Blueprint Bulletin secrets to up your game. Click the Blueprint banner ad today or go to bodybuildingsupplements.com and purchase your ticket to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Get strong. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
And on the cool check-in.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking to Professor Yofi Tirosh from Tel Aviv University. We're talking about how laws should perhaps navigate the whole issue about obesity, which is being called an epidemic in most on most continents today. Dr. Tirosh, in your paper, you say that the law should not serve as an opportunity to create incentives for weight loss. And that private companies and organizations should not treat the obese people any differently. You say limit their rights and opportunities. Is that correct?
Right.
And you point out an example that I have talked about on this show for 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, airfares. Okay. So talk to me about your opinions on airfares and obesity.
Let me just say, so that listeners can find the article, it's called The Right to Be Fat, and it was published in the Yale Journal of Health Policy, Law, and Ethics, and that's it for that. So here's what happens with airplanes. When we design airplanes, just like as we design other public spaces, we rely on a very specific idea about a normal body, right?
Right.
A normal body size should have an average of X height and X weight and X width. And I feel that that's just making our lives very, very easy. You know, we reached the moon. There's no reason why we can't do adjustable seats that could fit people of different sizes. I have to also say that there's a lot of hypocrisy when we talk about people buying two air tickets.
Yeah.
Because what they really get is not a seat that is accommodated to their body size. Mm-hmm. What they get are two seats with a space in the middle, which is uncomfortable and not safe. By the way, they also don't get the mileage, double mileage. That's just an anecdote. Often it's very difficult for them to enter the toilet, so they're not drinking before the flight, and they end the flight dehydrated. So just like we accommodate spaces for people with disabilities, and our law requires that in public spaces, we should also think about it in the in the aircraft area.
Okay.
And the other thing I want to say is there are many areas in which we, as a public, we are willing to pay the cost of allowing people a certain kind of autonomy for self-definition. So think about freedom of speech or the freedom to demonstrate. We are ready, as a society, in our constitutional law, in America, in Israel, in other countries, to let neo-Nazis march in Skokie and have police people from our taxpayers' money guard this rally, even though most of us are outraged by this message,
right,
and we think that it is, you know, immoral and wrong, etc., etc. But we still feel that the freedom to convey one's opinion is something so personal,
but
reaches the core of our being, that we just cannot intervene them as much as we feel that we want to, you know, tear our hairs with frustration.
But Professor Tirosh, let's stay with the airfare thing for a second. The airlines, the largest portion of their budget is designated for fuel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so let's do it this way. Let's say you and I are in Tel Aviv and we have friends in New Jersey and we both want to mail them packages through the postal service. Your package is 60 pounds and my package is 6 pounds. Should you pay the same price as me or should I pay the same price as you?
So, Carl, I
think
people are not cargo. It's not the same.
But it's an economic discussion. It costs a certain. Do you know how much it costs an airline to take a 6, 12, 18, 24 packs of soda across from California to New York over 1 year? $16,000. So they budget for that, right? So when they budget a seat, they budget a certain weight as well, because they don't want to get into the business of having people step on a scale with their bags and go, okay, you weigh 400 pounds altogether with all of your luggage, so you're going to pay 25
right.
cents a mile, and you weigh 60 pounds with all of your luggage, you're going to pay. And this is, in my opinion, this is what's going to have to happen if what you want to do occurs. Because people, I have no problem with someone being obese, but I feel that then they should have to pay their fair share for
So let's talk about this cost, okay? Talk about the public cost. There are many wrong calculations and blind spots when public policy people say, you know, obese people cost us that much. What we don't take into the equation, and we should, for example, are the ways in which the public messages to fat people to lose weight, not only do they not work, but they do damage to the cause of reducing obesity. So for a moment here, I'm with you. Let's say that I'm also on the agenda of reducing people's average weight in the American population. So I tell them, go exercise, reduce your caloric intake. But you know what happens? All the research shows that when you tell fat people that their bodies are wrong, then they need to change. Most of them, they don't start dieting. It's the opposite. They go and overeat and overcompensate.
Yeah, but
go to the gym.
But you know what? That has no bearing on the fact that they haven't found the right answers yet to reduce their obesity. Okay, so would you say, okay, let me ask you these two questions. Would you say that obesity is a personal responsibility issue, or do you think it's some extraneous outside responsibility issue?
You know, it's sort of like saying, are human beings characters, nature or nurture? Every serious scientist today will tell you that it's both. You know, even genes are malleable to
right.
environment.
Epigenetics,
so,
absolutely.
Scientists agree that it's a very complex phenomenon. The attempt to make people, to find a way that people would lose weight over time is the most colossal failure of, modern science.
You're right. Okay, so the second question I would ask you is being obese a health risk for the obese person?
There's a lot of debate about it. I know that it's hard
Dr. Tirosh.
No, I know. I'm saying something that's really hard to digest, but I can give you several titles of academic presses. I'm not a scientist myself. I'm a law expert.
Right.
But when I read serious scientists, public health people, that say, listen, it's not as they tell you. In fact, putting people on diets make them yo-yo dieting. They go up and down. Their metabolism is screwed up.
But that's another extreme. Saying, hey, it's like, okay, so let's take cigarette smoking, for instance. So let's say lots of the tobacco studies show that all these other methods don't work, but these two methods do. Do you abandon the whole notion that tobacco is using tobacco is a high risk thing that should be addressed because some of the data says yes and some of the data says no?
I feel that tobacco is not a perfect analogy.
I disagree. Look, the fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different. So it's absolutely something different.
Well, it's not only that. We know that it's also genetics, and we know that it's also environment. And I feel like the framing of the problem is a matter of choice, going the way of let's put the caloric value on the menus of the restaurant is really making us giving ourselves a very easy time. I think the government, instead of subsidizing corn syrup, should make it so that industrialized foods are much more expensive than vegetables and fruit. Don't laugh. I think it's
I agree with you. These are my issues.
Okay.
Part of the problem, in my humble opinion, is that the majority of people are getting the wrong message about healthy nutrition because they're being fed, no pun intended, messages that have to do with subsidized crop returns on investment, and they're being told this is healthy, and we know that it's not healthy. I have millions of listeners who get it. We eat an ancestral diet. I don't eat grain. I don't eat corn. I don't eat soy. I don't eat these crops that the government needs to get their investment back because I know that these are part of the obesogenic model. And so you're right. Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health, in my humble opinion.
But
they need to get out of the way and let those who understand how to fix this problem fix it. And there are people out there, but the problem is they threaten an entire financial substructure that the government is not going to turn their back on. I'm sorry, we have to take a break.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest there. There's medical companies that want to do more drugs, you know, to help people lose weight.
Right.
There's the whole diet food industry. There are the gyms, et cetera, et cetera. Even insurance companies, you know, the BMI definitions of overweight and obese have slowly escalated to make it so that more people are considered overweight or obese over the years. And what that enables insurance companies is to get more premium money from us because, you know, the minute we're categorized as abnormal as in the group of the, you know, the risk group, then they can charge more from us.
Oh,
so
I know.
There are many interests at play.
And it's funny you say that because according to the BMI, which I've said for 8 years now is flawed, I am obese because I am 6'2". Mm-hmm. And I'm, right now I'm 242 pounds. And according to the BMI, I'm over 30. So that makes me obese. But the difference is that I am mostly muscle. I am maybe 12 or 13% body fat. And so, BMI is flawed. And you're absolutely right. It's a broader net to, make people fit into a category that they may or may not really be in. We're gonna
and
do
I
this.
I want to say another thing about.
No. Hold this thought, Professor Tirosh. Hold this thought. You remember it now. When we come back from the break, I'll let you finish your comment, okay?
Great.
Okay, so stay tuned. You're listening to Super Human Radio. We'll be right back.
Dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is a great hour. We're talking about, is it your constitutional right to be fat? We're talking with Professor Yofi Tirosh from the University, Tel Aviv University, in Tel Aviv, Israel, right now. And I say, yes, it is your right to be fat. But I think that we need to examine all of the repercussions, effects, downline trends, and so on from this growing mass, no pun intended. And we need to tease out what is personal responsibility, what isn't, and what should be borne by society and what shouldn't. I'm sorry, Professor Tirosh, I interrupted you to take the break, and you wanted to make
no
a point.
No problem.
Please.
So I was going to say that when we get data on the cost of obesity, one thing that we often don't enter there, doesn't enter the radar, is that obese people face a consistent bias and discrimination from their doctors. Doctors are, in some researches, are the number one source of stereotypes and stigma that obese people feel. They're high up there with family members. And what happens to them is they come, let's say, with an ear infection or with something that's unrelated to weight. The doctor gives them a hard time. And what they do is they don't go back to the doctor, they don't do their checkups, and they get a much worse, you know, overall ongoing health care than thin people that don't get this bias. And what we get then is this horrible data that obese people are less healthy than other people. So we need to take that into account as well, Chris.
Well, as a former obese person, and keep in mind that when I was 330 pounds and I was diagnosed with a then supposedly irreversible heart problem, I had hypertriglyceridemia. I was my blood sugar was in the 100s regularly. So I was one of the walking dead. I sincerely say this, that had I not changed my life
you and I would not have this discussion today, because that was 1998 when I hit the wall. And quite frankly, I didn't set out to lose weight and go, oh, I know I'm going to lose weight and do a radio show. This happened quite by accident, because I then became a zealot for the truth when I discovered how to cure my own diseases and get myself fit and so on. And so one of the things
I'm very happy that you're with us, and it's great that you find a way to health and to happiness with your new body. But the point is not whether people should do it or shouldn't do it. The point of my paper is whether the government can or should force us to do it. Now, there's a very important philosopher called John Stuart Mill, who wrote the most important book on liberalism that there is, and he gives this example. He says, let's say that there's a man that is about to cross a bridge, and the bridge is unstable. You know that he might fall and die. Can you stop him? And Mill says, as long as this person is informed that the bridge is dangerous, you cannot intervene in his choice. You must respect his choice.
I agree with that.
And my point is, you cannot tell people, you know, the choice that you've made, I imagine, is something that did not come from the outside. To the contrary, people on the outside that told you you must lose weight probably just, you know, discouraged you and depressed you. And the inner voice that said,
Have you ever been overweight in your life?
Yes, I began to tell you in the beginning of our conversation, I'm slightly overweight, not in American terms. I always tell this story that I studied in Michigan, and in Michigan I was a very average woman. I had clothes in all the shops. Not in Tel Aviv, I can't buy clothes because size 12 is considered, you know, way overweight.
Let me tell you firsthand how I felt. I didn't like the way I looked. I felt like I couldn't find myself anymore. My image of myself and what I saw represented in the mirror were very, very different. And I didn't want to be fat. I didn't want to be overweight. I didn't talk to people about it. I didn't say, oh, I'm fat and I love it. You know, it's better to be fat.
Right.
But deep down inside, I didn't want to be overweight. But it took a life-changing event to occur for me to apply the needed effort to reverse it. Mm-hmm. But my point that I wanted to make is, when I was overweight, I was prescribed 11 different medications. And so when you make this argument that, well, obesity really doesn't cost that much, I would respectfully challenge that statement and say that the obese people, once they reach the point where their obesity has become a deficit physiologically, because there is a period of time where obesity is non-consequential. Oh, my blood pressure is fine, my blood sugar is fine, but the body only can hold up resistance to that for a certain time, and then it goes, oh, the heck with it, and it caves in, and then you become insulin resistant, and all these other issues start happening. And once you hit that point, you are absolutely more expensive to take care of than I am today.
You must be familiar with the term, the obesity paradox, where they find today that in many aspects of well-being, actually, it is obese people that have better longevity and better
Professor Turoch, do you know what the problem with those things are that the mainstream media loves to, when you really tease the data and read it, they're looking at elderly people who have some fat on their bodies, who reach a point in time where they receive an illness that would take a lean person down. They have more body fat. They're not talking about fat people being more robust and healthy. When you tease, I've read that study through and through. And I can tell you firsthand that that is what the mainstream likes to promote. But when you read it, it does not show that obesity is healthy. It shows that some elderly people fare better in states of illness when they have more body fat. And that makes perfect sense. That's what body fat is for.
I have to confess, I feel not skilled to talk about the science of it. And I can urge you to talk to people like Professor Michael Gard from Australia, who wrote a book called The End of the Obesity Epidemic, or to Eric Oliver, who wrote Fat Politics, or Paul Campos, or Gina Colata. And those are all serious people that review those researches with the scientific tools that I don't have.
Right.
And they say, you know, it's not as simple as they tell you that fat is bad and thin is good. But I really, it's important for me to go back to the level of principle.
Yes, and what and, is it? Is it appropriate for the law to address this? And if so, how?
Right. So what we see now, what I did in the beginning of my paper is I mapped the way, what it means today to be a fat legal subject. So to be a fat person under current law. And what I found was that there are direct ways in which the law intervenes in our lives. So for example, when a college says to its students, you will not graduate if your BMI is X, unless you take a fat class where we teach you, you know, to exercise and eat healthfully, they're discriminating.
Are there universities that really do that?
Yes,
That's terrible.
It's in my paper. You have also, you talked about price discrimination with the airplanes, but we have anecdotal stories such as a story that was in the press in the U.S. where a woman went to a nail salon and they charged her 50% more than they charged other clients. And they told her, look, this is because we insure ourselves, you know, if you break the manicure chair, then, you know, so we see many, many incidents of discrimination. What we do not see is protection from law. So today, let's say you're going on a job interview, and the employer, the potential employer, looks at your resume and he says, it looks great, it's lovely, but let me be frank with you. We are a young and dynamic company. Please lose 10, 20 pounds and come back to us, and we'll be happy to accept you to work here. That is allowed today under current U.S. law. It is not considered discrimination. And you know, often, you in your show talk a lot about health, but what we see often is that the bias begins, especially for women, way, way before the point
yes.
in which overweight becomes a health issue. So many, many times, let's say parents and partners, they tell you, I'm only worried about your health. That's why I'm telling you to skip the dessert.
Yeah, but that's nonsense.
They just say that it's
right.
a placeholder. It's an excuse. They really mean to say that you don't look pretty enough or that they're ashamed in you or that they're afraid that you won't succeed in life because you're overweight. And I say, if we do away with the stigma and the discrimination, what we will find is that obese people won't be as shy in wearing a swimsuit or going to the gym or dancing in a party. In fact, you know, we'll give them the permission to really connect with themselves and do what's happy for their body and for their health. When they hear the external voices of your body is wrong, your body is ugly, your body is unhealthy, it makes them close up, you know, isolate themselves, be at home, avoid physical activity, adopt dangerous behaviors such as, methamphetamines or other ways to dangerous ways to lose weight. We know that youth is especially vulnerable to anorexia and to take on smoking, for example, so that they don't gain weight. They even commit suicide if they feel that their weight is not as it should be. And as a society, I think it's really sad that most of us live in this, walk on this earth feeling that our bodies are inadequate.
That's true no matter where you are, because most people
right.
suffer from body dysmorphia. They don't see even what their spouses fall in love with them, and they don't
mm-hmm.
understand why. It's like they see themselves different, but they could be thin anywhere. People are
right.
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't believe that they can be attractive because there's always
right.
something wrong. Their size, the proportion, et cetera, et cetera. I want to talk about something that just,
can we take a break? We have to take a break. Let's just take a break
sure.
and then we'll,
sure.
and I'll give you, and so please hold that thought. We're talking with Professor Yofi Tirosh. We're talking about the legal implications of obesity, as well as whether or not the government should make any type of discriminatory action against people who are obese illegal, the same way as discriminating against race, color, or creed. Stay tuned. You're listening to Super Human Radio. We'll be right back.
best whey protein in the world, turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Professor Yofi Tirosh from Tel Aviv University. And this is really a discussion from legal aspects and how the law should or shouldn't intervene in those who are living lives with obesity. It's a really interesting discussion. I really do mean this. I know that I may seem a little combative, but I'm not.
No, I love it. Israeli style.
I know. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I'm Italian. We came from the same gene pool. Just remember that.
Right.
But anyway, you know what it is? This is an important discussion, and the idea that we can have this discussion without some group coming out and saying, hey, you know, you're not allowed to talk about obese people. This is an important discussion. It really, really is. Mm-hmm. And this discussion will end up crystallizing further discussions because we have to tease out. But you wanted to say something when we went into the break.
I wanted to say that just a couple of weeks ago, there's a law proposal that is bipartisan and both by Congress and Senate that is called the Treat and Reduce Obesity Act. And this law makes it mandatory for health insurance companies to monitor and treat obesity. So on the one hand, it's good news because that means that health insurance providers will have to pay for medication, for drugs that help people lose weight. But I'm kind of worried about
yes.
this because I feel like it's yet another cooperation with the food industry lobby and the medical industry lobby
yes.
that enables them to maintain the status quo. You know, let's shove into people's throat all the junk food, but then fund the drugs
yes.
that help them lose weight.
But
and it's also...
This is exactly what the pharmaceutical agenda is. It's parasitic.
Mm-hmm.
It's cyclic and parasitic. So the same companies that own the agencies that are making us sick, they also own the pharmaceutical companies that then become drugs that we have to take for the rest of our lives. So you're right. There's a business model behind you. The other thing that
and let me give you another horror scenario because I think like a lawyer. That's how I was trained. So, you know, with anorexia, it's considered a disease, and sometimes it's allowed to put people in hospitals, anorexic patients in hospitals, even if they don't want it. So it's kind of forced hospitalization. Now, for me, the minute that you define obesity as a disease, that in some stage will allow, you know, let's say a concerned family or a concerned doctor to demand not force feeding, but force denial of food
right.
from an obese person. And I'm really worried about that direction that we're going in.
I agree. I actually see the parallels between anorexia and especially since anorexia, the anorexic person suffers from the most extreme forms of body dysmorphia. They are exclusively trying to change their body image. That's all they're doing.
Right.
It's not about memories and all the other things that we're talking about here that lead to obesity. It's quite the opposite.
Right.
It's almost a complete aesthetic aspiration that they have.
Right, my main message, which I understand that we're approaching kind of the end of
No, we're going to go a little long. I already told my other guest
because
we started late. But, go ahead.
Okay, so I wanted to say that I have no problem with the government promoting health, promoting a healthy lifestyle. What I have a problem with is that they use weight as a proxy for health, and that is not only erroneous, but also stigmatizing and inefficient. And, you know, go for it. Make people eat more fresh and healthful food. Build suburbs so that they're not built only for cars, but also with pavement so people can walk. Build the labor market so that parents can eat meals with their children on a daily basis and cook their meals at home rather than go through a drive-through McDonald's. There are many, many structural things that we can do instead of labeling fat people as, you know, the most scary epidemia of the 21st century.
But I agree with you. And that's why I am all for teasing out the important details where
mm-hmm.
we can apply some logical metrics. And for instance, when we talk about seats in buses, these have to do with, or airplanes, right? These have to do with volumetric issues, right? And so if you can only fit a certain volume in a space and one person is taking up more volume than another, they should be charged accordingly.
Right.
As well with weight. I think that if we have weight being another characteristic of a profit scenario for a company like airlines or buses, then I think that people should have to pay more if they are burdening that area more. And the other area of usage, I'm completely with you on healthcare. I don't think that people should be charged more because they're obese. I think people should be charged more if they are burdening the system more. If you're on 11 medications and I'm on none, I should pay less and you should pay more. If you go to the doctor every single month for one of your ailments, you should pay more. And if I only go once a year for my annual physical, I should pay less. I am all with you on this.
It's not my position, I have to say. I mean, what if your destiny made you chronically ill with some genetic disease that you had nothing to do with and you need to go frequently to the doctor? You don't want these sick people pay more than other people that were more fortunate. So I'll be...
But why? Okay, so isn't it interesting? We always apply this logic to these areas, right? Let's say you and I were in a fantastic
restaurant in Tel Aviv, Eden House Bistro. I'm sitting next to you, and you're sitting next to me.
Oh, you're very up to date.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm a world traveler. And you order the salad with the chicken breast on top, and I order the steak and lobster dish, right? And mine is $65, and yours is $14. And the waiter comes up to you and says, "Excuse me, Professor Tarosh, we're going to combine your two bills and split it. So you won't be paying 14 today. You'll be paying the average of your two bills combined." You would look and say, "Why do I have to pay for this guy's meal? He ate so much more than me." Well, because as a society, we have to accept the burdens of other people.
Well, I don't believe how many times it happens to me, but but that's on another level. Look, it's another discussion. When people, let's say, are born with paralysis, I don't think that they should pay.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
More than. But I wanted to say another thing, which is, let's take Bloomberg's 6 ounces soda initiative. I have to say, it might surprise you, I really like it because I feel like it shapes our notion of what is a normal portion of soda.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's good. I think we're distorted. I mean, those buckets that you get elsewhere are just, hilarious. And yes, that's in the direction of shaping the structure of the food market. What I don't like is his idea. He had an idea a couple years back that we should deny people on food stamps the right to use those stamps to buy soda. I feel that's very paternalistic. It's kind of labeling the poor folks,
yes,
and trying to educate them.
But that's what government does. Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves. So government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do. And this comes full circle to my attitude about the government being in our pantry. They don't even know what is good to eat. And they're telling other people that, oh, this is how you should do it. So I don't believe you can legislate health. You can't legislate drug use.
I agree with you on this completely. Do we have time for a couple of anecdotes?
Please, go ahead, and then we'll close the interview, please.
Okay, so the thing that I was surprised to find in my research about fat people in the legal system are, for example, there's a prenup agreement that I stumbled upon by chance, which says, "Jane will not get fat." So that, you know, the weight of your wife would determine whether, you know, you can walk out of the marriage with all the money. I feel that it signifies how distorted our society is, that one's weight really affects the nature, the core of their being in a way that it's a reason to break the marriage. And another thing that I was shocked to find is that in jury selection cases, when an attorney says, "I don't want this juror because they are fat, and from their weight I assume or I conclude that they have poor judgment, poor self-control, poor lifestyle habits," that is an okay reason to rule out, to strike down a juror. And I think that's a shocking
thing.
Well,
but you know what the problem with all that is? That there is science now. That Dr. Milan Watvi wrote an probably going to go down as the seminal work on an anthropological look and evolutionary look at obesity. It's called "Of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes: A Darwinian Interpretation of Type 2 Diabetes and Related Disorders," and he shows conclusively, scientifically, that this is not disputed or argued amongst the scientific community, that obese people develop certain personality traits, certain cognitive function issues, and it's indisputable as the effects of testosterone on a man and estrogen on a woman. That when you become obese, the biological landscape changes. Certain neural hormones occur. Certain other hormones occur. There are certain dysbioses that occur in the body that do give these people, and including myself, and I remember it, mm-hmm. they give us a certain personality, and it's just it's undeniable. It's scientifically proven.
Right, I'm eager to read that, but we have to remember that we do it all the time through other things that we do. We take Ritalin, we drink a glass of wine or more.
Right.
We do many things that affect our moods, and most of them are perfectly legitimate and legal, and we can't just rule out people's right to have any body size that they choose.
Right.
When you look at the fashion companies like H&M or Old Navy and their hypocrisy where they would sell, pants size 16 or size 18, only they would sell them only online. They would not put them on the racks in the stores. I feel that that's this horrible exclusion of obese people, telling them, we don't want you walking around in our store because you're going to spoil our image, our label and the prestige. And that part we really need to stop, because we are both hurting, a third of the U.S. population, and we are not promoting their health or their chance of slimming down by stigmatizing them.
Right. Well, you know what? I agree with you there. I think if you have size 16s online, you should have them in store, because the convenience of walking in and instant gratification of picking them up should be available to any shopper. However, I do not believe that we should force clothing manufacturers and stores to carry certain sizes, like the outcry against, was it Old Navy? I forget who it was, Hollister or something. There were a bunch of old yentas up there complaining because they wouldn't carry size 10 and above. And it's like, well, I can't go to Lane Bryant and make them start carrying size 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, I agree. But really, I mean, people, some experts, some civil rights experts, say that this is the new frontier of civil rights struggles, because it's the F word that you can use. It's the only verbal abuse that you can say into a person's face.
Yeah.
You would not, mention a person's race or a person's gender qualities today in a stereotyped way, but people permit themselves. You know, there is a professor, an NYU professor, that recently stated that he will not accept graduate students if they're overweight. He just said it publicly. That's really outrageous.
Yeah, I don't think there's an issue for that. I don't think he needs. I mean, look, I definitely feel there are areas where obese should be treated differently, just like smokers should be treated differently, just like heroin users should be treated differently. And I know you're probably cringing right now, want to punch me in the nose, but I mean, these are all. And I come back to that: becoming obese does not happen because of your genetics. I'm sorry. Because if that was the case, we could go to any military POW camp, and we should find the guy that they're starving, but he still remains 275 pounds. So this is nonsense that, oh, well, you genetically, you're just obese. No.
Well, we have research on twins that were raised in different families, and we see that they have similar weight. There's a lot of data out there on those issues. But as I said, I feel that it's weight is a function of complex factors.
Yes.
We need to address the ones that we can address, and we cannot leave it to the false story that we tell ourselves, that it's all about poor self-control and bad lifestyle choices. We're all in this together, and we need to change the food market. We need to change our ability to eat healthfully, to exercise, and to be happy and healthy in any body size that we have.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. I really, really do. And I say this again. I think that it's great that you did this, because it allows us to talk about obesity in a different context, where we're not going to enrage a lot of people on one side or the other. And this discussion forces us to go to the next level, which is, okay, if we are going to appropriately label obesity as one of those things that you can be if you are discriminated against, that there are laws being broken, then we have to really get down into the micro realm and say, okay, what areas are the responsibility of us to protect people within society, and what areas are not? And the areas that are not are going to change the face of services in this country. And I just hope everybody's ready for that. See, this is one of those things. I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right. It's gotten worse for us who are overweight, because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before. And that's my prediction.
I sometimes laugh and say that the only scenario in which overweight people will be popular again is if food will be so expensive, and they do predict that, that the prices of food will rise, that it will be like in Middle Ages.
Yes.
Where if that was a sign of wealth.
Yeah,
more extra pounds on you.
More importantly, the ability to become obese is actually a genetic gift, part of the evolutionary selection pressures to survive famine. And you are right. Those people, if we lost access to food, they would be able to survive because they would be able to take small amounts of food and still turn it into usable energy and body fat. So you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what needs to start. People need to go, wait a minute. That's what this is all about. And then we can start looking at the types of foods that trigger these alterations. And the truth will come out that the cereal grain-based diet is at a large portion of the obesogenic model today. And there's a lot of other things out there. There's a perfect storm going. So listen, I want to close this interview. I want to give you the last word. What do you want people to take away from your research?
I want them to understand that we need to let people be seen, be fat. The government cannot demonize our bodies, whatever shape or size it is, and really understand that bodies come in every size, and that's fine, and not connect health to body size. And I also want to say, come to Tel Aviv. The food here is wonderful.
I know it is. Tel Aviv is beautiful.
People and the beaches.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful country. Very, very beautiful country. I've been to Masada twice. I really enjoy.
When you come next time, please contact me.
I will. Thank you so much for being on the show today, okay?
It was fun. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Brooks Kubik joining us as we do the second installment on building muscle mass the dinosaur way. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Has an anti-estrogen been so powerful? The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER. People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
Could Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail, 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Okay, now we're joined by the keeper of the flame of physical culture himself, Brooks Kubik. How you doing, Brooks?
Carl, I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. And this is part two of the Building Muscle Mass, the Dinosaur Way series. There's going to be four parts altogether. The fourth part we're going to discuss diet, actually. And we kind of just added that organically during the last interview. We got some really, really great emails, lots of good feedback from people excited about this series. One email in particular comes from Paul. His name may be Paul Taylor, but I know Paul for sure. He says, hi, Carl. Following the last week's discussion with Brooks, it spurred me to find my first ever weight training program. I was given it by my uncle, who got me into training, bought my first weight set, and bought my copy of Dinosaur Training for my 18th birthday. Holy mackerel.
What a birthday present.
I know, right? The program came about when I was trying to get on my college judo squad and was 5'11 inches and weighed in at a mighty 160 pounds and could not get on the team unless I bulked up. I told my uncle, who was a beast at the time, and he promised me that he could fix the problem. He told me about the 5x5 program. It made me laugh the other day when Brooks and yourself began to discuss how people argue over the 5x5 working sets, et cetera. And I did the same thing when my uncle told me about it. After a year of following Brooks's program, I was 5'11 and 203 pounds. Really, really impressive amount of gain very, very quickly. And obviously, he made the judo squad. And I thank you for writing that to us. Also, was it Jeff Orrick?
Jeff Orrick, yeah.
Also sent in a question, and a very, very appropriate question about rest in between sets. So we're going to address that today, too. So where do you want to start, Brooks?
Well, I'd like to just briefly recap where we were last week. And then after that, I'd like to move into the rest between sets question. And after that, I'd like to share with the audience the program that Paul used that packed on 20 pounds of solid muscle and put him on the judo team in just a year's time. We're going to take the readers or the listeners through that step by step. And the fascinating part about that to me is that that's very, very similar to the program that I was planning to talk about today. And so this came in totally out of the blue as kind of a validation for the program, if you will. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So do you want to talk about the rest in between sets? It seems appropriate to kind of hit that first, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been talking about old school methods of packing on strength and muscle mass, working with barbells and dumbbells, basic exercises, basic set rep programs such as the 5x5 program, and we've been talking about using that kind of approach to build strength and muscle. So the question becomes, how long do I rest between sets? And, let me talk by you know, let me respond by first of all going behind the question a little bit, and then let me give some very specific guidelines. So first of all, going behind the question, I think what the question really is getting at, and I get this question all the time, it's a very, very common question. Brooks, when I'm following a dyno-style old-school workout, in other words, when I'm training for strength and power and muscle, am I training for a pump or am I doing something different?
Because that's influenced by rest.
Absolutely, absolutely. And most people who work out are used to very fast-paced programs where there's not a lot of rest between sets. And the reason is you want to keep the blood in the muscle groups that you're working. That's your pump. You know, so you might have, you know, 1 minute, you might have 90 seconds, you might have 30 seconds, you might have as little as let go of the barbell or dumbbell, you know, shake your hands a couple times and then go ahead and do the next one, you know, which is basically a Vince Gironda 8x8 approach. All of the very fast-paced, minimum rest between set programs that you hear about, that you read about, they're very, very common. All of those are based on the idea of pumping blood into the muscle in order to cause the muscle to increase in size. And that's the standard bodybuilding approach. It's a way to build what they call hypertrophy. It's not a way to build strength. And it's not a way to build power and not a way to build athleticism. What I like, what I prefer, is the old school way of doing things where you're focused on strength, power, and muscle building, all three. And to achieve all three, you have to have a balance between the right amount of weight, how hard you work, and rest between sets and between exercises so that you are fully ready for the coming set. So the bottom line becomes, in my programs, you're not training for a muscle pump. You're training for performance. You're training to push or pull or squat a particular weight, a particular number of reps. That's your goal. And whether or not you achieve a pump in the muscles is completely irrelevant, because what you're doing is you're forcing growth by forcing progress, by increasing over time your ability to lift a particular weight. And once you've mastered a particular weight and it becomes relatively easy, you add more weight to the bar and you fight that struggle again to master that weight. That's the kind of training that we're talking about. Now, in that kind of training, really a pump is counterindicated. And the reason is when you're training for performance, you want your muscles loose, you want them ready for action, you want your mobility to be 100%, you don't want anything to slow you down, to make you stiff, you want it all to be pure power, and if you're pumped up, you're stiff and you're not mobile, you're not fast, you've probably reduced your range of movement, none of which is going to help you when it comes to moving, pushing, pulling, or squatting a heavy weight. I remember talking to Tommy Kono, 2-time Olympic gold medal winner, 6-time world champion in weightlifting, who also competed in bodybuilding and won the Mr. Universe contest 4 times. So he did both, but of course he was primarily an Olympic weightlifter. And he said, a pump is death to an Olympic weightlifter. When you're training for Olympic weightlifting, you're training purely for performance, of course. And if your muscles start to pump up, you'll reduce your ability to lift.
And that's been proven by a study done right here in our home state by the University of Kentucky some 12 years ago that showed that nitric oxide in the muscle impaired calcium channel ability to contract muscle fiber. So it's not just anecdotal. It's true.
That's absolutely right. And I'm sitting here saying, Carl never fails to amaze me, and everyone's going to think that we had planned that one or scripted it. But no, that was, you caught that completely.
Nothing we do on this show is ever scripted, unfortunately.
No, that was impressive. But it's very true. So what you're doing on the dinosaur kind of program, on a strength and power and muscle development combination program, is you're trying to handle more and more weight in good form, perfect form, of course, that's a given. And to do that, you've got to get away from the pumping mentality. And so what you have to do is you rest as long as it takes between a set in order to give 100% to the next set. Now, having said that, let's talk about a couple specific things. Warm-up sets. You can go faster on your warm-up sets. And by faster, I don't mean rep speed. I'm talking about you don't need as much rest between sets, between warm-up sets. You know, basically what I do on warm-ups, you know, I do my warm-up set, I load the bar for the next set, I chalk my hands, and then I go and I do the next set. You don't need very much more than that. As the weight gets heavier, your rest period might increase a little bit, and you might get up to the point where you're resting a minute and a half between sets. That's fine. Then you come to your first working set, and you might rest 2 minutes before the first working set. Here's the fun part. If you're doing multiple working sets, for example, if you're doing a 5x5 variation where you're doing 3 working sets, well, you've got to rest long enough between those working sets in order to be able to do the 5 reps on the next one. If you don't, you're not going to be able to make 5 reps. So when you get to your working sets, instead of resting a minute, you might easily rest 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. And it will vary from person to person. It'll vary based on the time of year. If you're training in the summertime, you probably go faster. You go slower because it's hot. If you're training in the wintertime, you might go a little bit faster. All varies. It depends on the exercise. You probably can go faster between sets of curls, pull downs, bent over rowing, bench press, military press, but not as fast. In other words, you're going to slow it down more and take more rest when you're doing squats, when you're doing deadlifts.
Yeah.
You know, so those are some basic guidelines. The one thing, and if you need a commercial break,
we do. Thank you for saying that. No, let's do it now. Let's take this commercial break now because I don't want this segment to go so long. So we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, Brooks is going to tell you the one thing.
The one thing.
But in the meantime, visit BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com today to learn more about dinosaur training. We'll be right back.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD
and neither should you.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Build muscles, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Hey. Welcome back. Hey. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. Don't forget, the purpose of this four-part series is to add 20 pounds of muscle to your body. Not insignificant. As you can see, it worked for somebody else who wrote that beautiful email earlier. Paul. Brooks, what is the one thing you were about to say? What is the one thing?
Okay, the one thing about rest periods is to take your rest period and turn it into a productive part of your workout. It's not just, okay, I don't have a bar in my hand, I've let go, I'm sitting down, I'm wiping my face with a towel, I'm disengaged, my mind is elsewhere, I'm thinking about the royal baby, or I'm thinking about, because everyone's thinking about the royal baby this week, right? I'm thinking about this girl, I'm thinking about problems at work, troubles at school, something I've got to do, something I want to do, somewhere I want to go. That's what most people do, and that's not very effective. You know, yeah, the rest period allows your body to cool down, but you can let your body cool down, and while you're doing that, you keep your mind hot. You keep your intensity, your focus, your concentration, and what you do during the rest period is you focus on the next set, or if you're going to a new exercise, the new exercise, and you start thinking about doing that absolutely perfectly. Letter perfect form. Perfect focus. Perfect concentration. You use imagery, visualization. You project. You see that happening. You want focus so intense that during the rest periods, you're watching yourself perform the next set. And it's as vivid as if there was a movie camera that was playing a film, and there it is. It's you. You're doing squats. You've got 400 pounds on the bar. You're doing 5 reps. You know, you're getting set. You're getting under the bar. You've got it. You're stepping back. You know, the whole thing. And you want to see it. You want to hear it. You want to hear the plates rattling. You want to hear the grunting. You want to hear the noise you make when you come up out of the hole. You want to see the chalk flying, you want to feel the sweat dripping down your face. You want to make that preset movie that you're watching, you want to make that completely real. And so you stay focused and connected in your workout from set to set. And that's also the time when you can do what I've described in dinosaur training as power talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start talking to yourself. And you start saying something. It's really sort of an affirmative exercise, an affirmation. You start focusing on something that's really important to you, a goal you will achieve through your training. And you say it, and you say it with conviction and fervor and passion and belief. I did that when I was training to compete in my first bench press national championship. Long, long time ago. Over and over, two words. National champion.
Hmm.
National champion. National champion. National champion. National champion. National champion. And by the time I got up to do my next set of whatever it was, in my mind's eye, I was already a national champion. And I was going to, in this coming set, train like a champion, lift like a champion. And I did. I trained much better, much more effectively. And as a result of training better and more effectively, I got really strong, really fast, built my confidence to an amazing degree. And when I went to the contest, you know, in my mind's eye, once again, visualization. I'd seen it happen. I'd worked to make it happen. And when I was there, it happened. Now, we're talking not about weightlifting or powerlifting performance per se, but we're talking about how to pack on 20 pounds of muscle mass.
So you're saying that in between every set,
uh-huh,
you should not let your mind wander or look at the girl doing stiff leg deadlifts over in the squat rack. You should there be preparing for the next set by imagining, feeling, visualizing you're actually executing it, and maybe even some meditative quality of breathing, mm-hmm, to prepare yourself for the next set. So in other words, rest is just another continuum in the process. It's not like I'm done with that set. No, you're not done with that set because the sets are strung together by the active approach in between them that makes it this continuum that takes you from zero mark to the 45-minute mark. It's all part of it. It's not excluded, if you will.
That describes the process perfectly. That's the process, and that's the way to focus on rest between sets. You know, it's not just, gosh, do I rest 30 seconds or, you know, 60 seconds or 3 minutes or, you know, 4 minutes and 27 and a half seconds on Tuesdays and Thursdays and 4 minutes and 18 seconds every other day of the week. You know, it's not that. It's take the time to rest that you need to be ready for the next set. And while you're taking that time, while your body is resting, you keep your mind engaged. You keep it focused. It's just absolutely an incredible tool to propel you, you know, really to the next level of strength and development. Now, going back to the affirmations, we're talking about a muscle mass program. We're talking about building strength and muscle. And so one very powerful affirmation when you're in this program, working on this program, what do you say between those sets? You say 20 pounds of muscle. 20 pounds. 20 pounds of solid muscle. I am going to gain 20 pounds of solid muscle. I'm going to squat. I'm going to press. I'm going to deadlift and gain 20 pounds of solid muscle. And you're focusing on that. And now what you're doing is you are priming your body to go after that coming set, whatever it is, whether it's squats, deadlifts, presses, whatever, to go after that next set with the goal, the purpose of using it as one more step on the journey to 20 pounds of muscle. that becomes pretty empowering. And when, you know, it sounds silly, but you start doing this kind of thing and you feel energy in your body. You feel additional strength, additional force. And you're thinking, where did it come from? Well, it came from inside you. It came from the desire that you have to pack on that 20 pounds of muscle. Hmm. You know, so.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a pretty empowering thing, which, you know, I will tell you, Carl, I've never read that anywhere else. I've never heard anyone talk about that. I don't know if anyone else does it, but to you and to all the listeners out there, that is a really, really powerful bit of advice.
Yeah, and you know what? It's something that professional athletes alike go and do. They do it. They hire psychiatrists and they hire hypnotists to get them to do that. And it's something that takes practice. Do not expect it to work right from the get-go. It may, but it's something that has to take root in your psyche. You have to connect the visualization and the practice to the biological mechanism behind belief. When you believe it and you make that connection, then it will unlock power in you that you never thought you had. But don't give up. The only way to find that is to go through the motions and practice this, even though it's not connecting. You don't feel it. I'm not getting stronger. It's not, don't worry about it. You just keep doing it, because when it does, and it will, make that connection with your core system of being able to believe and connect to belief, you'll see it work. We have to take a break. When we come back, are we going to detail the old school routine?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're listening to Brooks Kubik here on Superhuman Radio. This is part two of the building muscle mass the dinosaur way, adding 20 pounds of muscle mass to your physique. And don't forget to visit Brooks's website, BrooksKubik, KUBIK.com. We'll be right back.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
lead.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. You know, another thing that you can visualize is how great your breath will smell when you use Aura MD. Everybody in the gym will be able to smell it. I swear, I'm not kidding. Everybody who's tried Aura MD has either emailed me or messaged me on Facebook or posted on my Facebook wall and said, man, you can really smell how fresh your breath is when you use it. You can get a buy one, get one free by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. And it's never contaminated with toxins or questionable agents that are going to impair your health. So check it out, Aura MD. How'd you like that, Brooks, for product placement? I worked it into the visualization scenario.
I thought that was pretty remarkable, and
You probably thought to yourself, my God, will he stoop to no end?
Well, I thought it was fascinating because I don't sell toothpaste, and this is not a product plug, but Trudy and I use all natural toothpastes, and you know we believe pretty strongly that that's a very healthy thing to do.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So day one of the routine that helped Paul Taylor reach his goals of getting on the judo team.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to apologize to all listeners because this is a really long, hyper-technical program. You're probably going to have to listen to the show a couple of times in order to get the workout
this.
Down.
Yeah,
to digest it, okay?
Because we all know that in order to put on 20 pounds of muscle, it must be some convoluted, complex, esoterically boring approach that you have to think through and spend hours just learning before you can even walk into the gym and try it, right?
Yeah, well, it's got to involve binomial theorems.
There you go.
Day one, first of all, train 4 days per week. That can be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. It can be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. It can be Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
4 days a week. Different workout each day. Day one.
Get your pens out because there's a long list of exercises. Go ahead.
Yeah, and take a second pen because
you'll run out of ink.
Yeah. Run out of ink. Squats. 5 sets, 5 reps.
Okay, squats, 5 sets, 5 reps. What's next, Brooks?
Well, that's day one.
Right. That's day one. Wait, we're gonna do our best rendition of the Who's On First satire now. By Brooks, instead of Abbott and Costello, it's Brooks and Carl.
Yeah.
Okay, what else do you do on day one besides that?
That's it. Day one is your squat day.
Okay.
Right, 5 sets of 5 reps.
I know. Day number two, you're going to trash me, so that's okay. I'll live with
it. Yeah. Day number two is a pretty high volume program. Bench press, 5 sets, 5 reps. Barbell bent over row, 5 sets, 5 reps. And that's it.
So So that's the beginning of day two. What else comes after that?
That's the beginning, the middle, and the end of day two.
But I'm going to finish these I'm going to be done on day one. I'm going to be done in a half hour. On day two, I'm probably going to be done in and around a half hour to 40 minutes. I mean, surely I have to be spending enough time in the gym that the average person thinks I actually am one of the custodians, shouldn't I?
Well, you know, contrary to popular belief, you do not need to live in the gym in order to get good results. It's not about how long you train or how often you train. It's about how effectively you train. That day one, those squats, five sets of five, do them right and they will work you into the ground.
Right.
Day two, you're working two of the best movements you can use for your upper body. Bench press, bent over row. Pushing muscles, pulling muscles. Right there, between the squats on day one and the bench and the bent over row on day two, you've pretty well hit all of the major muscle groups in the entire body. And you've done it by focusing on basic compound movements, ones where you can handle a lot of weight, pile on the plates.
Right.
And that's what gives you the benefit. Okay, so day three.
Right.
Okay, now, in advance, there's three exercises in day three.
I knew you were going to stick one of these long days in there.
Yeah. This one is really, it's a long one, high volume. What we used to call marathon training programs. Number one, the standing military press with barbell. Five sets, five reps. Exercise number two, and this one, by the way, is going to be very popular, barbell curls. Five sets, five reps. The third exercise, I'm going to give you what Paul's uncle gave to Paul, and then I'm going to suggest a little bit of a change. As suggested by Paul's uncle, lying triceps extensions with a barbell, mm-hmm. five times five. I think a better exercise on a mass building program is the close grip bench press. Mm-hmm. Close grip is a little bit closer than shoulder width. You can handle a lot of weight in that.
Yeah.
It's easier on the elbows. I think it's a better movement.
And that second part that Brooke said, it's so much easier on the elbows. It doesn't make you prone to those chronic overuse injuries in your elbows that shut down your pressing movements completely.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you got to protect your elbows, because if your elbows go, then you can't do overhead pressing, you can't do bench pressing, you can't do incline pressing. You lose a lot of good stuff. So, you know, protect your elbows. I know everyone always says do line tricep extensions, standing French presses, things like that, but you know, close grip bench press, a lot safer, a lot better. Day four. Deadlift. Five sets. Five reps. And that's it for day four.
Wow.
So if you're paying attention, what you've noticed is you have four training days. Each one probably takes half an hour to 45 minutes to complete. So your total training time is somewhere between two and a half hours. You are doing five reps on each set. You're doing one, two, three, four, five, six, seven different exercises, a total of 35 sets. And that's spread out over the entire week. It's not remotely a high-volume program. Instead, it is a high-quality program. And the trick to making the program work is to work really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
To regularly and progressively and continuously add weight, small amounts, but add weight to each exercise. Once you start doing that, this program that seems so short and so simple and so almost comically easy starts to take on a life of its own. It starts to become incredibly demanding and difficult. And that's when it calls on your inner warrior to make the promise carry through with the commitment that you've made to yourself. You know, you've committed to pack on 20 pounds of muscle. This is the program that will do it. And just because you've added a lot of weight to the bar and your squats, your deadlifts, or whatever, and it's feeling heavy, that's not a reason to quit.
Yeah.
That's not a reason to stop and you know, get on your skateboard and go zooming off. No, no offense to skateboarders, that metaphor just popped out at me. You know, get on your skateboard or your roller skates or your pogo stick and go bouncing off and look for something else. You stay on the program until you achieve the success that you promised yourself.
Yeah. And that's the important thing, consistently. Consistency, I'm sorry. Like Coach Dan John likes to say, the goal is to keep the goal the goal. So let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and we'll pick it up on the other side with Brooks Kubik. If you want to gain 20 pounds of muscle, I'm sorry to tell you, it doesn't require some sexy piece of equipment or some routine that you've never heard of. What it does require is for you to just put your head down and do the work. Most people aren't willing to do it. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order. People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Could Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
New from Rob Regish. Purchase the Blueprint 3.0 today and lock in your free 3-month subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. Find out what many in the BP Army already know. This is the best investment they've ever made. Includes the free Superhuman University. Add 1 inch to your upper arms course and 3 months of Blueprint Bulletin secrets to up your game. Click the Blueprint banner ad today or go to bodybuildingsupplements.com and purchase your ticket to Gainesville in the fast lane. You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name we pray.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so you detailed a four-day plan. You, as you pointed out, they can do it any way they want. One day on, one day off, one day on, one day off. You could do 2 days on, one day off. I mean, anyway, just as long as you're training 4 days a week and you're executing these small number of movements with intensity. And so that's the first step. What other variations of this can we offer?
Well, let's talk about a two-day-a-week and a three-day-a-week alternative.
Good.
Okay, very simple. 2 days a week. You take day one and day two and move them together. So you do squats, bench press, barbell bent over rowing. That's one workout. That'll take you 45 minutes to an hour. Second workout of the week, you take day three and day four of the four-day program, put them together. So your workout is standing military press with barbell, barbell curl, close grip barbell bench press, deadlift. And that will probably take an hour, maybe a little bit longer. So if you prefer training twice a week, or circumstances are such that you can only train twice a week, you know, sometimes, you know, work, job, school, you know, life, responsibilities comes into play. So you can do perfectly fine on twice a week training. Just split the program up, divide it up the way we talked, the way I just outlined, and go after it that way. The other alternative, and this is what I have used for most of my training career, and it's worked better for me than other options, might work better for you, is 3 days a week. And if I were going to do the program on a three-day-a-week basis, here's the way I would divide the exercises up. Day one would be squats, 5x5, curls, 5x5, close-grip bench press, 5x5. Now, when I do that program, when I do that workout, I start with squats because they're the hardest, the most difficult, the most demanding exercise. And I really want to go after them when I've got, you know, it's the beginning of the workout and I've got as much strength and power and intensity as I'm going to have. And the curls and the close grips are easier. And in fact, the close grips are probably easier than the curls because you're lying down when you do close grips. So the progression is your toughest exercise, squats, followed by the curls, followed by the close grip bench press. So that's day one. Day two, military press followed by deadlift. And the reason you do them in that order is when you're doing the military press, you're standing on your feet, your hips, your lower back, your abs, your entire midsection are locked because you have to hold yourself in an upright position and resist the downward thrust of the weight, the force of the weight. You know, so maintaining your position is very important. If you were to do the deadlifts first, you would pre-fatigue or tire the lower back muscles and the hips. And that might make it more difficult to maintain that position that you want to maintain when you're doing the presses. So, presses first, deadlifts follow. And those are the only two exercises that I would do on that day. I think they work well together because both of them are going to hit the back, both of them are going to hit the traps. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, they're a nice push-pull combination. And, you know, it works a lot better doing that than trying to do, say, squats and deadlifts on the same day. Or trying to do the bench press and the military press on the same day. It's, the exercises are too similar. So that's the way, that's, you know, the reason I'm dividing them up as I've outlined. On day three, you've got the bench press and the barbell bent over row. And again, that's a good combination. You've got upper body push, upper body pull. The barbell bent over row is going to be working your lower back. So if you were to do it on the same day that you deadlifted, if you did it before the deadlifts, that might pre-fatigue and adversely affect the deadlift. If you did the deadlift first and then the barbell bent over row, now you've got a lower back that's tired from the deadlifts. And that's probably not a safe thing to have in play when you're doing the barbell bent over row. So that's why I split the exercises that way. So that's your three-day variation. I think it would be really interesting for listeners to focus on some very sensible change one variable at a time experimentation. Specifically, to try the four-day-a-week program, to try the two-day-a-week program, and try the three-day-a-week program, and determine which of those works better for them. And I guarantee that if everyone listening to this, if we had some kind of brain feedback mechanism where we absolutely got feedback from everybody, and everybody was completely honest and candid about which approach, 4 days a week, 3 days a week, 2 days a week, worked best for them, I think what we'd find is probably an even split. One third, one third, one third.
Really?
Yeah. Which, is pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah, no, I know, because that means that they're all three applicable.
Yeah, and it means that you have a lot of intelligent, sensible experimentation you can do within the confines of the type of program that I'm talking about. I always encourage people to experiment and find out for themselves what works best for them, but that doesn't mean that you take something basic and you go off and you do crazy, weird, bizarre stuff. You don't have to do that. That's not experimentation. That's just playing games. Experimentation is taking something that's basic and simple and tweaking it, refining it just a little bit. Now, Carl, you know Reg Park. Great bodybuilder from the 1950s
sure,
and 60s,
sure.
One of the strongest men in the world in the 1950s. I mean, just a remarkable, remarkable specimen in the history of physical culture.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's hero when Arnold was a young boy growing up, and that ought to tell you something. Read an article from the 50s, old, old issue of Iron Man magazine, where someone had watched Reg Park do a workout. And the person who wrote the article said something to the effect of, Park did the ordinary exercises. Nothing secret, nothing exotic. Same things that everyone else would do. But on everything he did, there was a slight twist, a little nuance, something that only Reg Park did. That made the exercise his own unique, perfect movement for his body. And he said, I don't know if he did that on purpose or subconsciously or exactly what, but I think that's one of the keys to his success. And, I think that's the same point that I'm trying to make, that within the parameters of basic old-school training methods, there's lots of room for intelligent experimentation and variation, and there's lots of ways to tweak things until you find exactly what works best for you. And when you work through that process, you engage your mind, you engage your body, you keep a training journal so that you're tracking your weights and your progress, and you really know, am I getting stronger or not? Because when you write it down, that's it. That's a written journal. It doesn't lie. You don't have to rely on memory. Then you start to see whether, front squats are better or back squats, deadlifts or trap bar deadlifts. Whether it's better to use this particular motion in the row or this particular motion. Everybody's different because their body's different.
Right.
And when you find what works for you, that's what personalizes this or any other training program. And, when you're starting to go after your training and put it together at that level, that's when, number one, you're virtually guaranteed of success. And number two, that's when it starts to become lots and lots of fun.
Yeah.
That's when science meets art.
In what period of time, if people follow the four-part program, did you say, and I forget, and I apologize, at the beginning of the show, when we very first started doing this, how long it would take for them to add 20 pounds of muscle?
Well, you know, that's going to vary from person to person. A younger trainee, particularly an underweight trainee, is probably, if they really go after the program, take it seriously, get their work in the gym, follow the right nutritional approach, which we'll be discussing. You could do it in 3 to 6 months very easily. I believe Paul mentioned in his email that he took a year to go from, get this, 160 to 203.
Right.
43 pounds of muscle in 1 year. And, he was packing that onto a 5'11" frame. So he was starting out pretty skinny, pretty underweight. And as a young man, skinny, underweight, particularly if you're tall, gains of 30 or 40 pounds over the course of a year are very, very possible.
Yeah.
Gains of 20 pounds, you're looking at perhaps a six-month timetable.
And now, you know what the sad part is? People might say to themselves, 6 months, man, that's a long time. Because according to that supplement I read about in that bodybuilding magazine, I could put 20 pounds of muscle on in 1 month.
Well, 1 month is ridiculous, Carl. And, I would never buy a supplement or, do anything that I had to wait 30 days for. I want instant results, 30 seconds. Right? Isn't that the mentality?
Yeah.
But no, you're right. I mean, 6 months to some, to some sounds like a long time, but it's the blink of an eye. And remember, once you put in the 6 months that builds the muscle mass, you then have that muscle for the rest of your life.
And also,
that's pretty good.
And also, it's important to say that in 6 months, 6 months will have passed. Will you be 20 pounds of muscle heavier? Probably not. Even with all your supplements that you're going to buy in the next 6 months. So this is really not magic. It's a matter of applying yourself consistently, putting your head down, doing the work, not looking at where you are, but looking forward at where you're going. When you're walking a journey, you look out at the horizon. You don't look down at your feet because then you go, my God, I've been walking for days. But you measure yourself by looking at the horizon. And so 6 months is not a long time. It may seem like a long time right now because you may have some unrealistic expectations caused by something like, spring break or, you've got a wedding to go to and you want to look 20 pounds of muscle heavier. Probably not realistic and not a wise way to venture into this. But remember, in 6 months, 6 months will have passed. Will you have 20 pounds of muscle on your body in 6 months? Well, you will if you follow this program. If you don't follow the program, chances are no. Because I've been training for a long time, and I go up and down, because unfortunately for me, I am not consistent enough, and I let myself get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. 6 months is not a long time.
So 6 months with tunnel vision goes pretty fast.
How do we want to close this interview, Brooks?
Well, I think what we want to do is encourage everybody to send in emails, shoot in questions. We've been talking about not only sets and reps and exercises, but we've been talking about how to do particular exercises. We've been very specific about how to structure your workout, how to rest between sets. We've talked about the mental aspects of the program. We're going to be covering nutrition, so if you have nutrition questions, shoot them in. We'll get to them at the appropriate time. But right now, if you've got training questions, or if you've done this kind of program in the past and you've had results from it that you want to share, shoot it into Carl. And
On air. Superhumanradio.com. On air at superhumanradio.com. And please put in the subject line simply Brooks Kubik, K-U-B-I-K. That's it.
Very good.
Brooks, thanks so much for being on the air today.
Hey, my pleasure, Carl. Catch you next week.
Okay. And also we want to thank Professor Yofi. Why don't I have her name in front of me? I apologize. Professor Yofi Tirosh joining us all the way from Tel Aviv with the University of Tel Aviv to discuss the implications of obesity on the discriminatory laws in countries, not just in the United States, in all countries. That was a great discussion. And the actual study, I think it's 72 pages. I just put it up on the blog. So if you go there, you can download it and read it yourself. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.